Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
You just came out of the barrel on that one. Just, dear Lord.
I am amped up and ready to go.
I see that. I mean, I'm the one sipping on energy drinks over here. I don't know what you're just running on natural high over there.
I am forcing myself to be amped up and ready to go.
There you go. So is there really much to talk about?
I was like, this is...
Dane O'Brien and Brie had their baby. Like good. Yesterday, so good for them.
Good for them. I'm happy for them.
Picked a dumb name for it, but, you know, it's Birdie. Like, that's a 1920s female name, you
okay,
know what I mean?
Birdie Danielson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they wanted to keep the B,
mm-hmm.
but there were so many other choices. Because
it's Bree and Brian and then Birdie.
Yeah. All right. They wanted to keep the B theme. But again...
It is Bree Bella.
Well, she's got a...
Is she Danielson? Did she take Danielson
She
officially?
Might be Danielson, but I know, like, they've got, like, a bunch of different names. I know Cena had said, like, Nikki's full name whenever he proposed to her at WrestleMania, and I just can't remember what it was.
No, I don't remember that.
Garcia's in there somewhere, I think. I don't know.
Which, again, just begs the question of, like... She knew that was coming. That's how this industry works.
Right, absolutely.
So, like, but it still had to, like, you know, lean into the kayfabe just enough.
Right.
And I was like, oh, but we'll use the real name. So it's a real for...
Right, so, you know, like, hey, there you go, Smarks. So this was, they're in the Europe tour.
Yes.
So that typically means we're kind of bereft of really anything to... Really sink our teeth into, aside from Braun Strowman's now injured. He's going to be out a few weeks. It doesn't sound like it's going to be a very lengthy absence. And then I don't know what they're going to do with Roman.
Okay. So,
because I figured, like, since he's going to be out and he was linked to Roman, then they're like, okay, well, then Roman can be out for a little while too. Because, you know, we're supposed to believe he was coughing up blood and totally not being handed blood packs from a referee, but, you know, whatever.
So, probably, like, once every 10 episodes or so, we have an episode where I have to, like, I do this thing where I'm like, all right, let's look at the fundamental structure flaws in the WWE industry, their storytelling mechanisms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And watching Raw this way, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of those episodes.
Well, it's also going to be one of those episodes where, like, what's a random topic that we can come up with that's somewhat related to wrestling?
So, at the end of every podcast, we do these, you might turn it off at that point because they're usually pretty much the same, but we do these, you know, plugs for Twitter and email, et cetera,
right.
et cetera. You should listen because... We do them live every time, and we suck at them.
We're really bad at plugging your own stuff.
For having done them for 200-some episodes.
We're almost at 275. For those who are wondering, I'm not doing anything special for 300 this time. I had to plan the last couple ones, and they were a pain.
I understand. We didn't plug starting at one, but like...
No. It was very much a gradual process right. as we kind of like had more and more avenues.
But the plugs always start out with... You know, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at Sierra Tire, where we live tweet every Monday, which is a lie.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything, like, that now? Okay, sorry, you triggered me.
I'm just saying that whole, like, we live tweet all Mondays is a lie at this point. Like, we do appropriate Sundays still.
Yeah, I had gotten better lately because I've been watching Raw and SmackDown live while I'm at work. But this past week, with just the way that the show was, I didn't have anything interesting to say,
no,
you know?
And like, and that was part of the thing. Is like, I watching Raw live, I don't think I have watched, like, all right, it is 8 o'clock, time for Raw, on the couch, remote in hand, go.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, 3 hours later, be like, Raw is done and I've watched it. That's not happened.
Yeah. 9 times out of 10, you're asleep before the main event.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, that's not like a dig on you or anything. You get up early.
Yeah.
You know?
So, like, I will sleep.
The only reason I'm not asleep is I'm a night owl and I'm at work.
So I will sleep through it, or I will be doing something else through it.
Yeah.
Or I don't get home until 8:30, 9:30.
Right.
And I'm not in a rush to come home because, like, they're going to replay whatever I missed.
Sure, yeah.
9 times.
Yeah.
And I just, Raw operates on, and WWE, but Raw specifically, because, and like, a lot of this applies to SmackDown as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to use Raw as the example since it's their flagship show and their baby and the one that I was struggling through this week.
Mm-hmm.
So Raw operates on this 4 episodes of Raw into a pay-per-view. Pay-per-views, you know, builds up to the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, fallout, build up, go home, pay-per-view, fallout from the pay-per-view, build up, go home. Like, there's a pattern that goes with it.
Fallout would actually be a good pay-per-view.
That'd be a really good pay-per-view name.
Way better than Great Balls of Fire.
If we need to pad this podcast out at the end, we can just, like, let's name random adverbs that would definitely be better than Great Balls of Fire.
I mean, I would just look at your DVD collection and just be like, yep, that would be better. That would be better. That would, like, this podcast would turn into me reading your DVD collection.
Yeah. But that system, that 4 episodes
mm-hmm.
of Raw and then a pay-per-view, does not exist anymore. And when you made the network, you killed that.
Yeah.
Because you are not selling me individual shows now. You are, you know, you're selling me I need to keep and hang on to the network.
Right.
I cannot imagine, and I'm sure there's a handful of meager exceptions, but I cannot imagine there are people being like, yeah, that WrestleMania is not, I'm not feeling it, but like, oh, this right here, this Backlash, this Payback, that's what's worth actually throwing down the $10. That's right. What's worth getting the, you know, subscription.
Mm.
And so it has become less of like, oh, we need to make sure every single pay-per-view is a pay-per-view event, you know, something that, like, speaking of the DVD collection, like, yeah, there is a row there that is 2 years worth of events on DVD.
Yeah.
Because that's how they're supposed to be. Pay-per-view events, like, oh, and I'll buy it and I'll watch it again and again. These are truly the great moments. These are the high points of it. And they don't feel that way anymore. They're not marketed that way. They're right. Network events.
Right.
And as we're...
And the market's kind of getting flooded with them.
Well, and it is. But as we're getting more and more into this era of the network,
mm-hmm.
the line between the network event and the pay-per-view is blurred. Like,
right.
Roadblock Into the Line was a network event because it was like a surprise extra one. The one before WrestleMania.
Roadblock. It was just Roadblock. And then Roadblock Into the Line was the one at the end of the year.
Which was a pay-per-view.
Yes, which yes. was pay-per-view.
All right, but yeah, that initial Roadblock...
It was just, yeah. It was just
a network
event. Yeah.
But it felt more pay-per-view than most pay-per-views.
Well, yeah, because they also did like the Madison Square Garden one where mm-hmm. it was like the marquee event was Brock versus Big Show. That one felt like a live event. Or the Japan one, it had a little bit of special to it because, you know, we had the NXT Championship match, which should have ended the show.
It had Brock there. It had the championship match. It felt like a big deal.
Yeah.
But it still felt like
a Roadblock show. Felt more, the first Roadblock felt more pay-per-view-y.
Right. So we're continuing to blur this line. They're flooding the market with 2 a month, so basically every other week at this point.
Yep.
You can so very, very easily ditch Raw, ditch SmackDown, and just watch the network.
Yeah.
Which, you know, not necessarily a terrible situation for WWE mm-hmm. to be in. I'll just go ahead and pay my $10 a month, and I will watch all the important things on the network.
Here you go. You can do something that I'm going to call the Neil formula, because our friend Neil
mm-hmm.
just watches the pay-per-views mostly and listens to our podcast. That's it. That's it.
And
that's all you need to know.
That's, you know...
We could cover five hours of wrestling and then some in like a 1 hour podcast.
Yeah.
So we're efficient like that.
And so, and again, that is not a dire situation for WWE where it's like, well, I will just pay you every month and then watch your important things. Because they're still getting paid. The network is their big thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I'm like, yes, I'm none of this is where I'm saying, so cancel the network and make your voice. No, I'm not saying that. That's not this week. Some weeks, yes.
Yes.
Not this week.
Fair enough.
And so, but where does that leave Raw?
It leaves Raw. I mean, well, because Raw lately, for the longest time, is just in advertising for the network.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with some matches that haven't really been, like, we'll get good matches, it feels like, less and less frequently. And we get more of, like, thrown together stuff or a tag team match with, you know, people who are just kind of thrown together because these are good guys that are feuding with these bad guys, so we'll just team them all, you know, and then, you know, the formula.
Right.
And then just, you know, if you want to see these in an actual match against each other, then, you know, be sure to tune in to the network.
Yeah, but
which, like, is fine, because, you know, before that, Raw was almost a commercial for pay-per-views. But they were fewer and further between, so you actually had to have story progression at Raw.
So, about 6 years ago, seven mm-hmm. years ago, I don't know, right when I first got back into it,
mm-hmm.
And got back into it, WrestleMania 26, oh, Bret Hart's back, I want to see what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I was like, yeah, Bret Hart thing ended WrestleMania, because the whole thing was like, I'm gonna watch till WrestleMania 26 so I can see the conclusion to this story,
right,
that I've waited 13 years of my right. life to see. But then WrestleMania came and went, I was hooked into other storylines at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It worked,
yeah,
which again is why I can never poo poo on why are they bringing that guy back.
Sure.
Because one of the worst ones they brought back was the one that hooked me.
Yeah.
But that, after a while, kind of started to drag, not doing great. We got to that summer. We were in college at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I had gone home for the summer. Yep. Wasn't watching it with me. I was watching it by myself,
mm-hmm.
which, as you all know, is so much harder to watch wrestling when you're watching it by yourself.
Say that again.
And so there was a 3-hour episode, and it was dragging. I'm like, this is too much. This is just too much in one sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being like, I think this might be the straw. Like, I think I might take a break for the summer.
Yep.
Not feeling it. I know SummerSlam is going to be a big deal. I'll be back in school by then, back with Chris, back with people to watch it. And that was the episode that Nexus debuted.
Yeah.
So it ended on that, and it was like, nope, back in. Let's see what's going on.
Yeah.
I need that real bad right now.
Yeah. Like, something to kind of really hook you.
I cannot think of the last really genuine ender of Raw where, like, I need to get back. I need the next Monday to happen right now.
Yeah.
So I know what is going on. And they have, not that they haven't ended it on cliffhangers, because they kind of have, but they've been so, like, drawn out and, you know, predictable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, this is how this will happen. Because we talked about it, I think it was just last week, where maybe the week before, where Dean Ambrose came out to try and, like, oh, but I have the Intercontinental Champion. Yeah. And they're like, oh, these three. And immediately, like, oh, so it's going to be Miz, because it'll be Miz through some shenanigans, because he's going for the IC title, and then these two will be free to, you know, do a number one contendership later. And like, oh, here's the next 8 steps of the right. storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know that, so they're going through those motions. I don't need to actually see them happen. They're all going to wrestle on Raw, so they're going to be very formulaic and safe in the wrestling, because it's just a Raw one. It's not a pay-per-view one. And again, sidebar, I'm not saying boo safe wrestling. I only want the dangerous. Be safe.
Because there's a time and place to, you know, kind of really put everything out there.
There is. But I'm not. The thing with Nexus, when Nexus debuted, was I felt done. I felt emotionally drained by wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I need to step away from wrestling and come back later. And I don't feel that way. I'm still very excited
sure.
about Backlash.
Yeah.
Nakamura is going to debut. I'm very excited to see that.
And overall, you know, I mean, a lot of that has to do with, you know, SmackDown being the kind of the superior show right now.
Yeah, but even I'm not like.
But you're saying after, even beyond that, yeah.
After Payback, mm-hmm. I was like, all right, I want to see where this Braun and Roman storyline goes. Right. Like it's you know, it's weird. It's interesting. Okay, that guy's charismatic. Yeah. He's captivated my attention,
and it's definitely one of the better things they've had Roman involved in.
Right, but in the last while. None of that, oh, I want to see more of this storyline, translates into, I want to be sure and watch Raw this week. It's, all right, I want to basically watch in a month the next event.
Sure, yeah.
Because
we know that's when things are actually going to progress and develop.
Well, and that event was where Sheamus and Cesaro turned heel.
Yeah.
They're not even, you know, making sure that all the face turn heel turns are happening on Raw now.
Yeah.
They're doing promos on pay-per-views, which doesn't feel as, you know, a big a sin as it used to. It used to be like, this is, you know, that's a free TV thing. You should be done building your storyline through promos. Now that it's the pay-per-view, the mm-hmm. $50 pay-per-view, I should be seeing some wrestling for this story. Now it's like, yeah, okay, but it was like $10, and there's one every other week.
Yeah, and it's $10 that you're going to spend anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got to say, like, we talk about 5 hours of wrestling a week is too much, and that's just the two main shows. Yeah. You throw in NXT and, you know, 205 Live, and then there's going to be some UK stuff happening.
Yep.
And
that's coming up soon, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to be real ambitious, you know, Impact and Lucha are out there. Like,
yeah,
you can bury yourself in this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in that world, being like, hey, 3 hours every other week. You don't miss anything. You get a nice beat storyline.
Yeah.
Everything's still okay. And that's really appealing. You know, at the end of, and especially like, this Raw is a little bit straw that broke the camel's back.
Sure.
Because it was pre-taped.
Sure.
And I just, that is a stumbling block for me to be able to like, get into kayfabe and be like, oh no, this, just knowing that like, this was taped several hours ago.
Yeah.
Not, it just doesn't. I don't know. That's a stumbling block for me.
No, absolutely. I agree 100%. Zootopia would be a much better name for a pay-per-view. I did make that mental note while you were talking about that. I mean, it just comes back to kind of like flooding the market completely. And not just every other week, but also having like really long shows. Mm-hmm. And your special events are the same. Are the same time length as your Monday night show.
Sometimes shorter,
yeah. That's... I feel like that should be looked at as almost of a problem, you know?
Yeah. And...
But again, they're not going to cut down the time on Raw because of advertising money.
Right. Well, and if you want to compare this to, like, oh, it's a sport... I don't sit down and watch baseball. I don't sit down and watch football. Those are on the TV while I am on the computer or mm-hmm. I'm doing housework or whatever else.
Yeah,
And I do sit down and watch a World Series game or a Super Bowl. And so, you know, that's your... Because mm-hmm. I do sit down and watch WrestleMania and SummerSlam.
You know what helps as far as football?
Mm-hmm.
Getting the... the Red Zone, or I forget what it's called, the Red Zone channel or whatever that's on that NFL Network puts out.
Yeah,
and like it just cuts quickly from game to game to game to game to game, and like literally mm-hmm. goes for 7 hours. And honestly, it's the fastest 7 hours of your life. But man, it makes football fun.
Yeah,
especially when, you know, especially because we do like fantasy football and everything.
Right,
just saying. But again, they have to cut to. What, like 12, 13 games
mm-hmm.
over the course of an entire day?
Yeah.
Like quick cutting to keep your attention. So I see what you're saying. Like, you know, watching a single game is going to feel like
Oh, it's a drag. I do it twice. I do it at the beginning of the year because yay football season. I've waited for you so long.
Mm-hmm.
So first Panthers game, whatever that is, and Super Bowl.
Yeah, I typically like I will watch my team's
mm-hmm.
their games. Usually not like with my full attention. Like usually like in the background doing something else or something or whatever. Or if I'm invited to a friend's house or something that has like for a game, you mm-hmm. know. And even that, it's like, I would like to go home now.
But wrestling is, like...
For some reason, wrestling is an exception for us.
Well, no, wrestling is also sports entertainment, so it should be, like, yeah, it's sports, but it is also...
So, yeah.
Cinematic and theatrical, and...
And in order to get what they're trying to serve you, mm-hmm. you've got to pay a little bit of attention.
I should want to,
right.
is the thing. Is like,
right.
I think that baseball... The you know, Major League Baseball and the NFL should be fine with my I think they are fine with my attitude of being like, as long as it's on and I'm about the house, like,
yeah,
I don't think there's like making great strides of, we got to adjust this football game so that Joel is sitting there watching, because enough people do sit there and watch
right.
every play.
Yeah.
But wrestling should be bothered by that. Because I should be sitting and watching. Because as much as it is a sport, it is also a theatrical experience.
Well, yeah.
And I don't go to Broadway and go, all right, just on my computer, I just want this in the background.
Right. But at the same time, they're okay with just getting the numbers, you know, just getting the ratings. Like, having a TV on is just a positive number for them as far as ratings go.
But by being okay with just having the TV on... We've now gotten to the point where I'm okay with the TV being off.
Right. Absolutely.
And a lot of, some of this is also just a long time coming chickens come home to roost scenario of an inability to build anybody up.
Right.
Because, okay, let's take this. This Monday Night Raw had a main event that was Dean Ambrose versus The Miz.
Yeah.
Which is technically a main event that is a, it is a match between two former WWE champions. That should be a big deal. That should be, like, statistically, that is a main event caliber match. You have, you know, two previous champions facing each other.
Right.
And it felt like a mid-card match. Because...
Yeah.
And that's because they can't seem to make any main card guys anymore. They're making... A bunch of mid-cards that hang out sometimes at the top.
Well, they let a lot of guys get to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I think that they're holding anyone back to a certain extent. I feel like it gets to a point where it feels like it's just too many cooks or too many people have their hands on it and it feels convoluted and... That's it. It feels like that when they put their hands too much on something, it feels like that's what's holding them back.
There's a difference between holding somebody back and just refusing to support them.
That too, yeah.
Because I don't think Dean Ambrose is being held back. I think they would love it if he was viewed as a top tier star.
No, because he looked great when at the brand split.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was. They really didn't have much of a choice to have him as the guy because AJ Styles was still getting established as far as like
right.
who he is within
WWE.
For
the first several months of the brand split,
yeah.
Dean Ambrose carried the SmackDown brand.
Yeah.
And there was no reason why he shouldn't have been able to carry that success, that, I guess, prestige onward into being this guy is always a heartbeat away from that title.
Right.
But he's not. It didn't happen like that. And it just felt like the support fell out from under him. Mm-hmm. And not that he was pushed back down the ladder, but just there was nowhere for him to go. And he kind of, by default, stumbled back down into that upper mid card. They have a massive, massive, massive upper mid card.
Yeah.
Everybody that's not Roman is in there.
Yeah.
Roman, Cena, Triple H. Like, even Randy Orton sometimes feels like he's at the top of the upper mid card.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, like... And they have these guys that are, I don't know, it's just there's no huge group of people that I'm like, this is what the build is. And we've talked about this for a long time, and this whole like, oh, you're trying to make another scene and that's not going to work, da da da. And this is it not working.
Yeah.
In action.
Yeah.
When these two guys who I get on paper are a great main event. You had the face of the previous SmackDown. You have The Miz, who is your best on Mike heel.
Yeah.
In the company. He's the smartest. He's the most hated. He is a 6-time Intercontinental Champion.
I believe so, yeah.
He is at least a 1-time WWE Champion.
Yeah.
He has built this great persona, but without support.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not... Other than Roman, and this isn't meant to be like another bashing Roman segment, mm-hmm. but other than Roman, just because Roman is the exception to this, I don't feel like they are supporting anybody. I think Chris Jericho is good enough, strong enough, experienced enough to be able to support himself.
Right.
I think they're supporting Triple H, I guess. But even then, not really. Triple H has lost his last several matches.
Right.
And this isn't like a Triple H needs to go over or else his credibility is shattered, mm-hmm. because Triple H has miles of credibility.
Sure.
He can lose plenty more matches. It's not a Chris Jericho scenario where it's like, oh, he's lost too many and it seems silly now.
Yeah.
The level of support that is being given to Roman should be given to Roman. This is, you know, this isn't a how could they do this? Roman is not my guy.
Right.
But that amount of support needs to be given to other people as well, and it's just not. And there's this whole thing of like grab the brass ring kind of situation, but you can't do that all on your own. We've right. seen guys, we saw Cesaro do that all on his own. We saw Dolph Ziggler do that all on his own.
Right.
And this is what happens when they do this all on their own.
Right.
Support needs to come from the company
eventually
as well.
You need the establishment support to kind of meet you halfway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you saw like Daniel Bryan probably went as far as anybody else could on their own.
Yeah.
You know, with just fan support and his own, just, you know, his own ring work. But without the institutional support, you never would have had that WrestleMania 30 main event. You know,
right?
You never would have had that. You would have been in the opening match against Triple H, and that was probably it. You know,
well that.
But that was eventually the company finally realizing that, oh, we need to capitalize on this.
And
this guy's white hot.
Yeah, it felt like that support came in those months building up to WrestleMania.
Right.
It felt like there was a reaction to there, and when they started giving him longer mic time, they started dedicating multiple segments a show to him.
Yeah.
They started giving him time to interact with fans. They started giving him main events. They started ending the show on his face.
Yeah.
That's the kind of support that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it came up, and we were all ready for it, and it just needed to be a little bit. And that's all it took, because we were all ready for it and busting at the seams for this Daniel Bryan support, which is why it all came out to this perfect moment at WrestleMania 30. And it felt like they were ready to continue the support for him.
Yeah.
And circumstances being what they are, we'll never know. But I'm not seeing that consistently for anybody else.
No. No, it seems like they're willing to support a guy for so long and then give up.
Well,
when they feel like it hasn't, when it doesn't turn out.
Well, I get.
There's no like real thick or thin.
There's an argument against this for like, oh, you need to do variety and stuff. But like, I feel like you take somebody like Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens is a fantastic, one of the best ring work guys, one of the best mic guys, one of the best crowd manipulators.
He's a total package.
That they have, yes.
Yeah.
But he is. He's not given consistent time. Like there will be times where he gets the mic and it feels like, you know, you get your 15 minutes, you go out and talk.
Right.
There'll be other times that he gets a backstage segment.
Yeah.
And that's all he gets. There'll be times where he has a match, but it's an unannounced match against a guy with nothing. And all we get from Kevin Owens is that pre-recorded video promo.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's not a consistent amount of support. And I don't see that happening. I feel like that happens, and then it's like, well, he didn't grab the brass ring because you weren't white hot for him like you were for Daniel Bryan.
Right.
But
that shouldn't be a prerequisite, you know. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't have to bend over backwards until they finally understand that these people are behind somebody.
I don't want to necessarily say this because it sounds defeatist. We as fans cannot and will not hijack Raw on a consistent basis like we always claim we're going to.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing. It's like, oh yeah, we're gonna definitely hijack Raw. We're gonna get what we want. It's basically been proven at this point. If they can make it through the Raw after WrestleMania, they can go.
They can
go about their day.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
On the very rare occasion, I think that a crowd determination of doing this something
right
will be. We'll change something.
Yeah, because at this point, WWE's like, we've seen them at their worst. Mm-hmm. We've handled it, and we did fine afterwards and still pretty much got the result that we wanted.
Yeah.
So until the fans change it up or do something else, they don't care.
Well, and I don't have, like, a solution of, like, oh, this is what we need to do, because I don't know. And also, there's a little bit of like, well, we're through WrestleMania, so I can go back to, you know, being on the side of like, well, but Roman is a good wrestler. Because he is. Roman's a good wrestler. Mm-hmm. I do like to see Roman. I don't, you know. And it's like, the only reason we're mad is because we didn't pick him. And that's, at the end of the day, a stupid reason to be mad if he's good.
Right.
And so, yeah, fine, Roman. And I'll still get great undercard matches. And I love these guys anyway. And so, until the next WrestleMania, when it's going to be Roman and Brock and everything has to bow to Roman and Brock, and I jump back on the, like, we can't let this stand.
Right.
Because I will.
Yeah.
It's like that cycle goes through, and they can survive that. I'm still going to watch WrestleMania. You're still going to watch WrestleMania. Yeah.
So what's the solution on that? Like, just care more than just WrestleMania season?
This isn't one problem. This isn't you're not doing this, you need to do this for these things to happen. It is a weird, long, convoluted problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because it worms its way through not only the issues with the card and the support for the guys,
mm-hmm.
but taking into account that Raw just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Raw is, not to sound too hyperbolic, but Raw is a relic of a bygone era of wrestling that doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We watch wrestling over the internet.
Yeah.
We just all do. You get all of your WWE Network stuff over the mm-hmm. internet. If you like wrestling more, you seek out Lucha, which... maybe you watch it on El Rey, but nobody has El Rey.
Yeah.
And now that it's on Netflix, you watch it there. Yeah. Then you seek out...
I even watch Raw and SmackDown on, like, being live streamed on USA, mm-hmm. on their website or on their app.
You watch, you know, pay-per-views for mm-hmm. guys that you really love. Maybe you find guys, but then, you know, oh, this guy, I'd love to see some history of him. Then you buy a DVD over the internet
right.
to get it.
Or 9 times out of 10, a digital download.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Raw doesn't work anymore. Raw as a, you know, 4-part series between the pay-per-views
mm-hmm.
doesn't work anymore. And that's not going to change overnight.
No.
But
But I mean, you're seeing the gradual shift, because every year it was like, all right, well, this is the lowest Raw rating ever for an episode, and every year it seems to get lower and lower. And that's not just a content thing. That is a, you know, kind of a dying medium.
Well, and part of it is, if you look at the numbers for this past week of Raw, because Raw goes over 3 hours, it gets three different Nielsen rating numbers. Right. And Raw Hour 3 had dropped 15% from Raw Hour 2. And that's just people not finishing the episode.
Right.
There's no, like, oh, they turned to something else. There's no, you know, anything like that.
I mean, yeah, there's certain playoffs going on for, like, different sports, but there's not real any one big thing.
No, that is people not finishing your episode. Yeah. And so Raw, you have roughly 12 hours of content between these network events at this point.
Yeah.
Like, we'll call them paper, but they're network events.
Mm-hmm.
And assuming you continue to keep the shows separate, you will have 4 of Raw and 4 of SmackDown, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
This is all big generalization. That cannot work the way it works right now. You need to do something wildly and radically different with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a, this is what you need to do.
Right.
But literally just coming off of the top of my head. Because you, again, you can't obviously sway too far, because then it's too weird and you will back off it because it isn't an immediate success because it's too weird. But I don't know, these guys, these characters have to live outside of the ring and the promo.
Yeah.
Wrestling has to evolve. Honestly, the best example in the past, you know, half a decade is the Final Deletion, because it was the biggest and boldest and loudest throw something at the wall, and throw something really different at the wall.
Right.
And how you feel about that or not, that was a sticking point. That's where the House of Horrors thing came from.
Sure. Yeah.
Raw basically carbon copied it with the New Day takes a field trip to the Wyatt compound. Right. And so at the, but they didn't take that and evolve with it, which is why I talked about last week, talking about so much with the House of Horrors. I want to point out the flaws without saying that was dumb. Don't ever do it again. Mm. Because do that again. Do something like that. Make up.
Just do it better.
Yeah, I mean, learn from it.
Dress up the freaking kitchen.
The nice thing about Raw is you get a new try every week.
Sure, yeah.
And you have a bizarrely loyal audience, because you're the biggest thing in this industry, in this art form. That is, I got in an argument with a guy the other day about, like, the quintessential American art form. And I was like, well, it's professional wrestling. I was like, no, you know that's fake, right? And I was like, well, but it is. It is, like.
Well, yeah, but, it, like, again, like, it's just like a stage play, you know?
No, and you know, you throw your arguments about, like, what, you know, of, oh, reading's been around, literature's been around for, you know, eons, and, you know, movies are everywhere, and the French did a lot to make those, and
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. But wrestling, professional wrestling, this weird, half real, half fake thing that you go through, and it is a art form that is unlike any other. You can't,
yeah.
You, when you talk to different people, you use different examples to compare it to. There are people who, when you're confronted with that, you know it's fake, right? Depending on who says that, you say, you do different things. You say, yeah, no, it's a stage play. If, you know, for friends who like theater, it's a stage play, just with a heavy emphasis on stage combat. But I get to see a brand new play every week.
Yeah.
To tell this continue ongoing story. Or if you have a nerd guy, you're like, dude, these are superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
It is a superhero story. You know the Avengers are fake, right? It's the exact same thing. But it pulls from and it compares to so many different things. And you have that and you should use that to your advantage to experiment with 12 hours of television that people are going to watch or not.
Yeah.
But you have those 12 hours of television and something needs to be done with them.
Mm-hmm. Birdman also would be a good pay for your name other than Great Balls of Fire. I don't know. It's one of those things. It's just like, I feel like we've had this discussion so many times and, or we've had all these, complaints on what needs to change or what this is leading to. And it's just, this has been one of those weeks where it's like, beating my head up against a wall, mm-hmm. you know?
No.
And again, having it pre-taped, the pre-taped European shows only exacerbates that, you know?
Right.
It only makes it worse. I don't know. I do want to ask you one thing. Just,
okay.
Do you think there will be a point in our lifetime where there is no WWE?
Okay, Do you have an answer that's any argument for yes?
I mean, TNA/Impact has been such a cockroach. And if those dum-dums can avoid closing their doors, certainly WWE can do that.
I mean,
you know? Like,
there's been so many
exit ramps for TNA that they haven't taken.
There's two different questions here. One is, do you ever see a future without WWE? And do you ever see a future where WWE is not the dominant provider of professional wrestling?
That's what I was angling for. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm not saying like there'll be come a day where we like stop watching. Clearly that'll be the day that this podcast ends, because what else are we going to talk about?
Yeah.
You know,
boxing.
That's when we transition to a Star Wars podcast so we can get into Celebration for free.
The
only thing I can think of is it'll have to be after Vince passes away.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever is in control just completely botches it and continues to botch it. And no one else has enough power to tell that person no.
I could see... I don't know. Even the Monday Night War sanitized WWE was always right documentary version of the Monday Night Wars talked about how WWE at the beginning of the 90s was using outdated and uninteresting tropes in their wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Which means they were super doing that. If WWE is willing to admit that, they're doing it that tenfold.
That had to have been super incredibly obvious.
Yes. I feel like they're doing that now.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, oh, Roman's the big guy. You know, oh, we have the lunatic. Oh, you have, and so many people are compared to, oh, Dean Ambrose. He's the new Stone Cold. God, what's his name? Seth Rollins. Oh, he's the new Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, Finn Balor. He's the new Shawn Michaels, except for when he enters, then he's the new Undertaker.
Right.
Like, so it's like, oh, but he's like a blend. But Stone Cold wasn't the new anything. Stone Cold was the first Stone Cold. Rock was the first Rock.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't like, ah, he's the new Hogan.
Right.
It wasn't. He was an entirely different thing. And so I could see somebody... I don't know if something will build up to be like, oh, like TNA, for lack of a better example, building up to like, oh, now it's a comparative rival company.
Right.
I mean, WCW had the backing of Ted Turner, and I don't know if you need the backing of an eccentric billionaire who just loves this stuff. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I think... Okay, here's what I think.
Okay.
There was a match a while back. I don't remember who was in it, but it was hailed pretty universally as a fantastic match.
Okay.
Ospreay was in it. Do you know the match I'm talking about?
Ospreay versus Ricochet?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Where it was very well, you know, and then
well received by everyone except for Vader.
Yeah, yeah. Who was like, no, that's not real wrestling. That's flippy. Right. Yeah. Nonsense.
Yeah.
Because 50, 60 years ago, flippy nonsense didn't exist.
Right.
It was big guys going smash mash.
Yeah.
And just wrestling had to evolve when flippy started.
Right.
And so I think something like that will happen, where something will be weird and interesting and different enough. And I think there have been pitiful half-hearted attempts throughout. Things like, oh, it's a six-sided ring. That brings a whole new angle to wrestling.
Yeah.
And you're like, kind of. I'm mostly terrified because all these guys have trained in a four-sided ring, yeah, and now I'm terrified that they're not going to be as safe as they could be. I don't know. And, like, Luch is doing a big push for that, just with different angles, different storytellings. And I could see that catching on.
Yeah.
It's not, and I'm not 100% sure why. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay.
But I could see WWE having to evolve to something that's close to unrecognizable, the way that the Attitude Era would have been unrecognizable to somebody who loved wrestling in the early 80s.
I would just, it would just have to be a almost a perfect storm of things, you know? Like, business would have to just be on the downside, and then somebody high up would have to do something probably despicable, like more so despicable that it's already been done in the past, because Lord knows Vince McMahon's done some pretty bad things.
Well, and we're in this era right now for all this bad wrestling is dying talk, and WWE is a relic of the past talk. We have this kind of running thing of the greatest wrestler to never wrestle in WWE. And it was Sting for a long time. Then as soon as, okay, well, I guess this one. Here he's already here. I can't even get the sentence out.
Yeah.
And they're flying through it. And so you're at the Young Bucks now, I guess.
Yeah.
But you're just, you're so quickly going through. They're grabbing everybody because they can.
Yeah.
Because WWE is still so unquestionably the top of the mountain. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You would need something where it's so different, it's interesting. And there, again, there are so many things out there that could do it. Lucha could do it.
Yeah.
The fact that New Japan has gotten so much traction, getting an English audience. The fact, they have Kenny Omega as this kind of star figurehead who, is able to speak both languages the way that he is.
He's kind of bridging.
And he seems to be interested in building up New Japan. Right. It's not...
So you're saying... All right. So your standpoint is you think it would be more likely for another company to get something incredibly right to surpass WWE rather than WWE doing something that causes them to crumble.
I think so. Okay. And I think so because... this has been nothing but a doom and gloom podcast.
Sure.
And this is still not the worst I've ever felt about wrestling.
Sure. Sure. And again, so, don't get me wrong.
I can imagine a scenario where I'm like, that's it. I'm done. WWE. Mm-hmm. You've gone too far. Which incidentally, we should talk about some JBL stuff that happened this week.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of that.
But I mean, this is still
I can't see a scenario where I'm like, that's it. Wrestling. I'm done.
Sure. And again, like we've been on doom and gloom still from top to bottom. This is probably the best roster WWE's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. They've had bigger stars, but there was a huge gap between the top guy and the bottom guy.
But throw two darts at the roster and make them fight.
Right.
You've never had a better shot at getting a great match out of those darts.
Right. Exactly. I think per average, this is the best roster they've ever had.
Yeah.
Now they just, again, you go back to an adage that I love. He's like, you got all the right. It's the secret to cooking. All it is gathering the right ingredients and applying the correct amount of heat or lack thereof.
Well, and
they've got all the ingredients. They just can't get the heat right.
And we are also, in all fairness, we are a weekly podcast about a weekly program.
Yes.
About multiple weeks. But you know.
And a constantly changing.
Right. 6 months from now, we could be like, talking about like, oh, this is how everything's gotten right. And this was, because this was a bad episode, it's a slower paced episode. I have so much more time to think about all the problems. They really are drawn out. And, you know, 6 months from now, where we have a really great pay-per-view followed by an interesting Fallout episode, followed by something that's perfectly fine, oh, it's so much easier to gloss over those things and be like, guys, we are living in a golden age.
Yeah.
Which will happen. And so don't bring this up as like, oh, y'all flip-flop, because I still stand by all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Back when I was praising everything, I was stand by everything I said then.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose is incredible. Seth Rollins is incredible. Finn Balor is incredible.
Yeah.
But.
Right.
Like you were saying.
This isn't an indictment of the specific talent of those superstars.
Mm-hmm.
It's an indictment of them being used incorrectly or WWE just not being able to keep up with the times.
I think the biggest thing is Raw is still your flagship program. You ask anybody on the street to name programs, it'll go WWE at the top, and then Raw will be the next thing that they can name.
Right.
Raw is your gateway into this world, and it's consistently some of the worst program you put out.
Right.
And not just from a I'm into wrestling, so I'm into all the the interactivity. Because that's definitely another thing where you're like, oh, you want there are amazing, fantastic wrestling matches that you do not want to start people out on.
Right.
Because
they don't know, they wouldn't know how to appreciate it.
Right.
You don't want to start somebody with Okada and Omega.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't just a, oh, I'm a wrestling aficionado and Raw is too broad for my refined taste thing. Mm-hmm. Raw is genuine, terrible television.
Yeah.
And it's your biggest thing. It's your thing to draw in new people.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's that driving them away.
Yeah, that is supposed to be your big net to get. Because even SmackDown is a little bit more specialized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where all the wrestling fans are like, that's where the better show is. But Raw is the one that's designed to, like, you know, cast the biggest net.
And
that's not happening.
You want to talk about, like, just straight marketing stuff? Roman Reigns looks great on a poster.
Sure.
He probably, like, smoldering pretty boy superhero man, he might visually look the best.
Yeah.
And if there's no other reason why they're going to make him the poster boy of the WWE for the next 7 years, other than he looks great on a poster.
I'm pretty sure that's probably the original reason, yeah.
I mean, he does. He looks like a superhero. He is built like a superhero. He's got a strong jaw. He looks like he's ready to save the planet.
Sure.
Which is fine. And so that's why you put him on that show. That's why you put him as the big face. But if I can't even make it to that point,
yeah,
then what good is it doing? And maybe that's the best way to frame this. Like, you're hurting Roman Reigns, WWE.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. There's been so many opportunities for them to use Roman, not any less than what they are, but just differently, that would make him and you, the company, a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it just seems like out of their stubbornness, they're burning this money, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay, what's the JBL thing you want to talk
about? Did you watch
Bring It to the Table?
Bring It to the Table.
I did.
Bring It to the Table opened up with a segment that...
It was the intro. It was like the cold intro.
Yeah, it was the cold open. I really don't know another way to put this, but making fun of the fact that there was a controversy about JBL bullying others.
A coworker.
Yes.
It almost felt like they were normalizing it, you know?
And...
Which, I mean, well, it doesn't feel like that's exactly what they were doing.
Yeah. So, the whole JBL thing, they're going to get away with it.
Yeah. They already have.
Yes. And that's kind of like a...
I feel like the bring it to the table thing was just the exclamation point. Like, right, we're getting away with
it. Well, the thing is, like, make your peace with it or don't, but, like, they're going to get away with this. I don't see that not happening.
No.
I felt like there was a little bit of a, all right, they moved him. He moved to talking smack for 1 week.
Well, yeah, well, that more became, you know, Dan Bryan was away.
Right.
His wife is close to having their kid.
Right.
And Shane wasn't available.
But that first week, he wasn't on the commentary table, was he?
No, he was on.
Was he?
Yeah, that was just that first week that people were chanting. Usually during commercial segments. Mm-hmm. I rarely heard any of the Fire JBL chants on the live program.
Right. But they've made it through, and then, oh, it's a pre-taped episode, so, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, there's not going to be any chants on that. And I just, this felt very gross to me.
Yeah.
And I, as best I can figure, the thought process was somewhere along the lines of the way Xavier Woods kind of made a joke about being in the Page Leagues.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing.
Yes.
It's not a one-to-one thing.
No, it's not.
JBL was...
Let's be very clear. That as much as Paige and as much as Brad Maddox, Xavier Woods was also a victim
absolutely.
Of that situation.
All three of them were it was a, like we said, it's a incredibly gross invasion of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't bully someone with a past of depression.
They weren't the perpetrators of the offense. Whatever the offense is, they were not the perpetrators of the offense. And JBL, in this scenario...
Is the perpetrator.
Like, whatever... You want to say, to think of, he did it, he didn't do it,
mm-hmm.
he did it, but it's not as bad as everybody's saying. There's two sides to every story. However you want to address this,
mm-hmm.
the scenario that you're given is JBL is the perpetrator of this offense.
Yeah.
And they open up this segment with basically, lol, yep.
Yeah.
That
he's like, yes, no, absolutely. I was in a controversy that, you know... was based on me bullying someone with a past in depression and has a suicidal history.
So...
That's what that opening segment said.
Mm-hmm. And, like... I don't know. I will go out of my way to believe the best in people.
Sure.
Especially when they're going to be on my TV every week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right. But, like... I don't know. That was extra gross, extra upsetting.
Yeah. I'm with you on it.
And I ended up not watching the rest of the Bring It to the Table. And I might go back. I might not. I like Bring It to the Table.
I do too. I do too.
I very much like, because it, more than anything else, has become the official WWE response to the smark opinion.
Sure. And sometimes those answers aren't satisfying.
No. And, like, sometimes they're stupid. Sometimes, like, you know, sometimes, like, oh, solid point.
A lot of it is, you know, well, just at least they're aware of it. You mm-hmm. know, they're aware of our complaints.
Yeah.
You know.
And I, you know, like, oh, this is your thought process. It's a stupid thought process. But, sure. Right, here's how you got from
and
A to B to C.
And it is effectively them, you know, sweeping a lot of our complaints under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I felt like they did with JBL's controversy. Just sweeping it on the rug. This is them kind of addressing it, and that's it.
But man, that was gloaty.
It was. It felt like they were in, like, it almost felt like they were in a one-sided fight
mm-hmm.
from the get-go, and this is them bragging about it later,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, I believe Mauro has, you know, he's gone on Twitter and everything. Like, a lot of people were, like, voicing support for him. And he was like, I appreciate it, but, you know, concentrate on the wrestlers. They're the ones that, you know... That you know, that are on screen, that are putting their lives on the line, blah, 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 blah. Like, that kind of thing. Yeah. Kind of, like, taking it off of him, which is fine. This is, you know, shows you that he's a good and gracious person.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... It just feels gross, like you said.
It does.
Like, it feels like... I don't want to say, like, they were, you know, beating down on someone who's defenseless and then bragging about it, but that's kind of what it feels like.
Oh, 100%. And, like, and I love Corey Graves, but, like, I don't... You don't get a pass. You were part of it. You were, you know...
Yeah.
And I feel like everybody who was a part of that segment needs at least some admonishment for...
Yeah. Corey Graves, Peter Rosenberg, whoever was responsible for coming up with that
mm-hmm.
opening. And again, like, Corey Graves could have been like, oh, I just went along with whatever they gave me. Yeah, you didn't have to.
Yeah.
There's always an option.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Sure, he's like, oh, I'm just looking out for my job and everything. Yeah, fine. I understand that. But there's always an option,
mm-hmm.
you know? You could have been like, I'm not comfortable with this. Could we explore something else to open the show with? Or just open the show and just not even talk about it. That would have been much preferable
or
if they just didn't even talk about it.
It doesn't make it better with him doing it. Like, if it was just Pete said the thing and then JBL said the thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Even if it was just JBL said the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Still.
Like, it's a, you know, not a live show, but it's a show where JBL pretty much has free mic reign.
Right.
And they don't seem to be super big on editing and sweeping this one under the rug.
Yeah.
So, like, he would have said something anyway. You would have been, the thing would have gotten out.
This isn't a Mike Myers, Kanye West situation, you know?
No.
You know, you don't hold Mike Myers responsible because Kanye West said that George Bush doesn't like black people. It's not a situation like that. You knew, like, it's a scripted segment. You
mm-hmm.
knew, like, you don't get to wring your hands on this.
Yeah.
You know?
So, no. So the thing is, nobody comes out of here looking good.
No. Lord, no. But, again, like I said, that is their victory lap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of like, hey, we weathered the storm. He's got an NDA, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they paid him plenty of money for that NDA, but still.
Chris, what is making you happy? We need that one this week.
I haven't even been thinking about that. Oh, man. Well, okay. There's something very specific to me, obviously. Muse said that, or announced that they're coming out with a new song on the 18th.
Okay.
Which is a week from now. From us recording this. So I'm excited about that. I'm assuming that means they're coming out with a new album. There hasn't really been any sort of announcement. Like, I know they've been in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already, like, announced tours and everything. Like, I'm going to see them in June. But usually, like, they announce an album first, you know?
Right.
And they haven't done that. So it's weird. But they haven't steered me wrong before. So I'm going to go.
Have they, like, named the song?
Yes. Dig Down, I think is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've named the song. They haven't officially announced an album, or I'm assuming this is probably going to be part of their official announcement. But, like, here's the first song that's going to be on this album that's going to be out on this day. You know.
Yeah.
But it's just weird that they do it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's interesting.
It's usually kind of backwards, the way they usually do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but again, new music from my favorite band on the planet. So I'm okay with that.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Good job.
What about you?
I have seen Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I've seen it twice.
Once
with you.
It's a pretty incredible movie.
It's fun. It's delightful.
So Marvel's got this interesting point now where I'm like, all right, how do I compare these Marvel movies? We're like, is it, you know, do I compare it to, like, is it better or worse than the, you know, first Guardians movie? Or does it do better sequelizing the first Guardians movie than Iron Man 2 and Thor 2 and Captain America 2? Like, or am I looking at, like, ranking the 15 Marvel movies that exist now? Where does that
sure.
land? Pretty much in all of those cases, it comes out looking good.
Yeah.
It did an incredible job being a great movie all on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Really developing and evolving the first Guardians movie. Doing a lot, just showing a lot of, like, what Marvel can still do, because Marvel's going to make a fantastic movie. There was like no doubt that it was going to be an amazing movie, because
yeah.
Marvel only does that right now. So just the fact that it got to be, like, a little bit more than amazing.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to see that one at least one more time in theaters.
Sure. Yeah. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. I still have the first Guardians pulling ahead a little bit.
Okay, so I would say that Guardians 2...
Because Guardians 1 was such a pleasant surprise, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
I mean, that's the thing is, like, it's very hard to compare because Guardians 1 came out in the middle of August. Where you're like, oh, yeah. This one has a tree and,
really and
a raccoon.
And we really didn't know a whole lot of what to expect.
This is where Marvel goes on. Marvel is right. drunk with power, you guys.
Right.
This one came out, and it's basically the most anticipated movie of the year, except for maybe Last Jedi.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it has a ton to live up to.
It blows the other two Marvel movies kind of out of the water as far as just, you know, mm-hmm. expectations.
I will say 15 Marvel movies exist as of right now, as of Guardians 2.
Okay.
I would say, though, Guardians 2 is safely in the top five.
Yeah.
I would say Guardians is also in the top five.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would say... One, you've made a top five Marvel movie with this one, so.
Two Guardians, two Captain Americas, I'm guessing?
Two Guardians, Winter Soldier, Avengers, and let me play with that fourth one, for that fifth slot for a while.
Cause I'm assuming it's maybe Civil War. Civil War's pretty good.
Civil War's really good, but Iron Man's really good, too. Like, I would need
the first
to,
one, okay.
I would need to really delve into that.
Because I'm with you on, you know, the two Guardians... Winter Soldier. What was the other one?
Avengers. The first Avengers. Avengers.
Yeah. Definitely the first one, not the second one. Second one's good, but Avengers 1, like, it has that moment, you mm-hmm. know. God, I'm going to be thinking about that a lot now.
Yeah, think about it.
Yeah.
So
I'm still mm-hmm. leaning more towards Civil War, I think.
All right.
The more...
Pass that along to you, the audience.
Yeah,
think about it.
Because I like Thor,
mm-hmm.
but the movies haven't been great. Compared to, you know, the other ones that were, like, top-tier
right.
Marvel stuff, you know. So I wouldn't mm-hmm. put them on the level. Ragnarok, I feel like, has a chance.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. It looks very good.
I agree. Let's see. I also put out a challenge on Facebook on, you know, your three American treasures. And Joel proceeded to list three musical acts that none of them were. You listed the Beatles, Rolling Stones, and Psy.
Joel's the best.
None of which are anywhere close to being American.
I think the...
And your thinking was these are the people that has the biggest YouTube following?
No, I'm thinking that the enjoying of other cultures and bringing them into our culture is the most American thing.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but that wasn't my premise.
So the conclusion
is... For those keeping score...
Joel is the most American.
For those keeping score, Chris's official list of American treasures, music-wise, Justin, in no particular order, Justin Timberlake, Johnny Cash, Outkast, I've now added Beyonce, and I'm thinking about adding Dave Grohl. Not Foo Fighters, but Dave Grohl.
All right, anything else?
No, that's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter where we live tweet, not going to lie this time, when we live tweet, but definitely on the Sundays where we live tweet.
I'm going to try to live tweet Monday and Tuesday. That just this week was just a headache.
No, it was.
Yeah. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want to bring up on the show, you can send that over to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to get the podcast. You subscribe there. Get a new episode every week. You could mm-hmm. give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or you could write a review if you felt so inclined. That kind of interaction would help out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah. Ooh.